Kevin McCullough says she is the most needed editorial voice in print today. Listeners have voted her fan favorite, The Amazing Mind of Carol Markowitz, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
You'll see some very great things happening in the Middle East. You're going to have peace without blood in the sand. For years, you had blood in the sand. That's all you had, blood in the sand. You got nothing for it. They got nothing for it. Now you're going to have peace.
Earlier today, congressional candidate Nicole Malliotakis, assembly member from South Brooklyn and Staten Island, issued a statement, and she said, "Today the world witnessed a historic moment when leaders from these countries met with President Trump at the White House to sign agreements that will formalize this path towards peace in the Middle East." The president referring to the potential for up to five more countries to join the two that have already signed on to this Middle East peace plan. I'm dying to get the thoughts of my next guest. Carol Markowitz is a regular here with us on Tuesday. She's written a lot about what's going on in New York City, but being someone who very much values the land of Israel and its need to exist, I thought it would be appropriate to ask her about that as well. Carol, welcome back, of course, as always. I know it's a busy day for you, but this is we don't see this kind of thing happen administration to administration. In fact, we've only seen since the formation of Israel as a nation formally, we've only seen two of these agreements signed in all the years up to this, and then two in the last 29 days. Your reaction?
My mind is blown. I'm not even exaggerating. I'm so surprised and happy and just overjoyed to watch peace unfold in the Middle East. And I think all the detractors are so hateful that they don't celebrate this kind of peaceful turn of events. I think that, you know, hating Trump is one thing, but not wanting peace in countries that matter to us is a real flaw in character. You know, one thing that I think a lot of people don't understand, and you know, when United Arab Emirates first, you know, lined up to make this deal with Israel, people were like, "Oh, but they weren't at war." But that doesn't mean anything. I'm Jewish. My husband is Jewish, but my husband was also born in Israel. So on his passport, birthplace says Israel. Mm-hmm. We were never allowed to go to the United Arab Emirates, and it was even beyond that. I would say to people, you know, they would say, "Oh, it's like the Vegas of the Middle East." And I'd say, "Do I have to keep being Jewish a secret?" And they'd say, "Well, maybe you shouldn't mention it." But to have that change overnight is magical. And it's crazy to me that anybody would oppose it or talk badly about it.
What's interesting, too, about this, Carol, is that, and Charlie Hurt pointed this out on Outnumbered with Harris Faulkner earlier today, but I thought it was extremely profound. He said, simultaneously, this occurred, and two things did not have to happen in order for it to be brought about. Number one, we didn't have to put a single boot on the ground or fire a single shot to begin this process that looks like it may engulf maybe up to seven countries that are going to sign onto this. And Saudi Arabia may be one of them. I don't want to get the cart in front of the horse, but I just, when you said you were blown away, I mean, this is really earth shattering. And he said, we didn't have to put one boot on the ground or fire a shot. Also, the other thing we didn't have to do was to give pallets of billions of dollars worth of cash to anybody to make this happen. This was done through the sheer force of negotiation and the ability for Pompeo and Pence and Kirshner and whoever else was on the squad to talk to these countries and to help them see and incentivize their own value in finding peace in the region.
Right. And really make them face the reality that Israel is not going anywhere. And I think, you know, the Palestinian people would benefit so much from facing that reality. But I always say their allies in America and in Europe don't want them to face that reality. They want to keep them pretending that Israel might one day disappear, but it won't. And it's here to stay. And the faster they accept it, the faster we'll have peace.
Well, and let's bottom line this. That has been the only sticking point from the very beginning. I mean, there's been no secret that for many, many years, Israel, if they were able to, and they tried to fight a war to try to make this happen, all of their neighbors would have joined in to try to eliminate them. Now, it didn't work, and Israel was able to not only stay and defend itself, but flourish and prosper. I've been there three times in recent years. And I have to tell you, it was life-changing for me to step foot in some of these places and to step foot in some of these places that are not lawfully limited for certain peoples to go to. But it's just a real snapshot of what can be achieved when you really make the objective and not have it clouded by, false manipulations.
Absolutely. The false manipulation is such a big part of that. I think that the faster that all these countries make peace with Israel, the faster the Palestinians will realize that they should also, and the faster we can all move forward. The whole world is so focused on this region and has been for so many generations now. I mean, maybe we can move on.
Well, and wouldn't that be refreshing? What's interesting strikes me. Barack Obama got a Nobel Peace Prize, but I don't remember really what that was for. And, this president is going to get one, and it will probably be one of the most earnest accomplishments in world history, at least in our era, the era that we live through and our kids live through.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't wait for this president to get one. I think that that's probably not going to happen. But, obviously, I think that some things have happened during this administration that really are harbingers of peace throughout the world. And it's crazy that an administration before them did nothing. And it was with just the promise of Barack Obama, they got him the prize. But Donald Trump, I doubt we'll ever see that.
Even if he gets the results done, even if he proves it?
It's very political,
I mean, he got nominated, so I was surprised that that happened. But we'll see where it goes from there. Okay, Carol, real quickly, let's touch on your column. You were pro-locking down New York City in the early days. In fact, you kind of self-locked down, but you're saying it's long past time. It's time to be back to normal. I had the same feeling this week. I was watching all these sports things on TV, and empty stadiums have got to be the stupidest thing I have ever seen. Almost as stupid as an empty restaurant.
Yeah, empty stadiums is even sillier because, I mean, they could half fill it, they could a quarter fill it, they could do something. Restaurants only have so much capacity. Empty stadiums make no sense to me either.
But don't you think it was kind of interesting? Don't you think it was kind of interesting that when Maliotakis and Meyer and those guys filed that lawsuit last week, that all of a sudden the governor and the mayor just said, okay, well, we can open. I mean, I think we've just got to, insist upon our will being done more often.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely right. And 25% indoor capacity for dining is not enough.
Not nearly enough. We want full open society again. All right. Go read her latest.
Thank
I was
you.
Pro-lockdown for NYC, but now there's no excuse for continuing it. It's in the New York Post, where you see her stuff every Monday. Carol, thanks for reflecting on the Middle East with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Kevin McCullough, big news day continues. Don't go away.